Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters are people making a difference with how we think, either collectively or individually, in order to give progress to our planet. And one of our favorite guests is Judy Carroll from Down Under, who has done so much work teaching us about what it's like to be a Zeta, what it's like to be a human who's a spiritual being, a Tai Chi instructor, and also at night to do healing work as a Zeta. But there's so much else that we want to talk to her about. She's also written a book recently called Extraterrestrial Presence on Earth, which is an incredible, it's an incredibly instructive book on all the different influences that have affected this planet from all over the universes for centuries, centuries, and centuries. So I want to know from Carol, from Judy Carroll, I want to know what on earth's going on with this coronavirus. I think this is the thing we need to talk about. So after that long preamble, Judy, you could tell I have so many things on my mind in your from your realm. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Veronica. Lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm delighted. But also, what is it like in Australia now? Is it people are locked down the way we are here? I hear that.
Yeah, the lockdowns are getting more and more. Every night when we turn on the news, there's more and more things happening. They've done a really good thing here, but because, of course, you know, all this, I don't know, a toilet paper disappearing off the shopping shelves in America like it is here.
Yes! Oh, it's happening there as well. Everybody's sort of rushing around going, okay, here's our priority, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, what they've done here, and I took advantage of it this morning, they have made an hour from 7 to 8 a.m. for people who are on, like, age pensions and things like that, which I am, to be able to go and do our shopping before all the younger people all descend on the shop and empty the shelves. So it was really good. I got just about everything I needed.
Oh, that's fun. Hey, well, yeah, we've got some special shopping times for seniors, and I'm definitely a senior. I haven't done that yet because I already loaded up. I didn't load up like other people. I took my one package of toilet paper and my one.
Yes, me too.
But yeah. I keep saying to people, when people panic, I go, what about leaves? We've got leaves.
It's a newspaper.
But actually, it is, you know, as an intuitive and which I am, as you know, but also you are, and I'm going, let's discuss, what do you think is going on? Do you think there's some kind of extraterrestrial influence? Where do you think the influence is coming from that the whole world is in many ways locked down right now and that we should grab for toilet paper of all things?
Look, it's very, very much the Armageddon thing that they talk about in the Bible and has been predicted, you know, the so-called end times, which is not. Very much about, it's a major, major test for Earth humans choosing between love and fear. What I might do, Veronica, my great teacher Mara sent through a very, very interesting teaching on this a few weeks ago before it even really, you know, escalated to where it is now. What was happening, I was giving a Reiki treatment to a good friend, and I didn't know this, but before we started the treatment, she sent a message out to Maris, my teacher, to communicate with me during the treatment.
Oh.
And lo and behold, while I was doing the treatment, he started sending this message through. So, of course, at the end of it, I said, well, that was really weird. While I was treating you, Maris was feeding this message through that I must write down. And of course, she burst out laughing and she said, oh, I've invited him to. Oh, I'm so excited. So it's lovely, lovely proof for her because she's just starting to get into all this. But anyway, look, would you like me to do that, Veronica? I'll read this out because I wrote it down as soon as I got upstairs while it was in my mind, and we put it up on Facebook and that, but I think I might read it out now because it really explains the whole thing from the ET perspective.
I'd love that. Could you tell people also who Maris is? He's from an extraterrestrial community, is he not?
Yes, he's a tall grey.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, he started off by saying, everything in the universe is energy. So everything that manifests in the universe, whether perceived by Earth humans as good or bad, comes originally from source. To understand the reason why seemingly negative events occur, such as this virus, there are three basic facts that need to be taken into consideration. Firstly, source or God energy is non-polarized. It's neither negative yin nor positive yang, but rather composed of both polarities held in a state of perfect oneness and balance. However, once energy moves out from source and transmutes to a lower frequency, and most especially on a highly polarized planet such as Earth, separation and polarization occur. One aspect of extreme polarization are the illusions of good and bad. In the greater reality, these opposites do not apply. All is oneness and balance. But in 3D earth plane manifestation, yes, such states are a subject of reality. Now, secondly, and this is really emphasizing this, death is an illusion. What Earth humans perceive as the greatest tragedy that can happen, the death of a human being, is simply a prime opportunity for spiritual growth and evolution. The death of the physical body, which is nothing more than a container for the soul, frees the spirit to enable it to focus on higher learning. It can then choose whether to reincarnate back to a physical life on Earth or elsewhere, or else to progress to a higher, less physical level of the human ladder. No death is ever accidental. Every soul freely chooses in its pre-birth state when, where, and how it will make its transition at the end of the coming life. Thirdly, the planetary shift from fourth to fifth world consciousness. We have discussed this in the past, and it is most important to understand that when a planet is going through an evolutionary shift, as Earth is doing right now, those souls who are not ready or able to consciously make the transition in synchronization with their home planet take the opportunity to make a timely exit through death so that they can then partake of a higher learning between lives. They can then either reincarnate back again in step with their higher evolved planet or else to another version of the planet that is more compatible with their energy frequency. Remember, planets as sentient beings are multidimensional. So in the greater reality, there is an Earth to suit all tastes. This is the reason why mass deaths always occur around the times of planetary shifts. Death is not an ending, but rather a beginning. Then he went on to say, we're quite aware of the myriad conspiracy theories doing the rounds on Earth in connection with COVID-19, with certain negative agencies being blamed for creating and spreading the virus. Earth humans are always happiest when they have an enemy to blame for their woes. The bottom line, however, comes back to the personal Armageddon you are all facing as a result of the changing and evolving planetary energies. That is the choice between love and fear. It all comes back to this. The occurrence of COVID-19 is proving a major opportunity for spiritual growth. You cannot evolve spiritually if you are not provided with this all-important choice. So in reality, the negative forces down here are doing you a great favor. In a way, they are your guardian angels. The choice is yours to make, each and every one of you. Are you going to be pulled into the herd instinct, stampeding into fear and panic, trampling over others around you in your terror? Or are you drawn to a more evolved human energy of love and trust and knowing that no matter what, all is well? And even death is not the end, but rather an opportunity for evolution to a higher state. Right at the end, lastly, a point to consider if you really can't get past your fear of potential death. Fear has a very detrimental effect on the human immune system, so keeping positive is a great preventative medicine to help you stay healthy. And that was the end of his message.
Wow, that was a very interesting, it's very dense, meaning there's an awful lot of information that I've heard before, but it's packed so nicely in this small paragraph, I think. Hey? And tell me a little bit about there's something that he said or that you read that was about how we die is something that we've already pre-scheduled. Is that right? How we die.
Yes, it's a pre-birth choice. We choose our time and you know, place of death and everything before we're even born. So it's all pre-chosen for the coming life. So everyone who is dying in this COVID virus pandemic has chosen to go that way. And because specifically the planet is going through this big shift, so a lot of people do need to pass over to the other side to go through more learning, more soul examination, etc., to then enable them to be reborn into hopefully a higher vibrational frequency planet.
Isn't it interesting, because we can kind of know that, but we rush around trying to protect our beloveds, don't we? We try to protect ourselves.
Of course, yes. That's only human nature.
But that's different levels of being, isn't it?
Yes.
So
yes.
Who set it up? Who set up that we would have a pandemic? Did we set it up collectively as a species?
Yes, we did. We basically, because as quantum physics is proving now, we create our own reality. And this is the other really important point that the ETs are trying to get across. On a deeper level of being, like on the level of our higher self, we all set it up to enable those ones of us who do need to go through the shift on a different vibrational frequency to pass over in death. So, yes, it's a collective choice.
Wow. And also, I noticed I was back into your book, Extraterrestrial Presence on Earth, in preparation for what I know would be a wonderful talk. And I was just thinking how, you know, you're talking about the human ladder on one hand, and the other thing is all the bioengineering that have gone on. And it's easier for me to think that it came from an organized plan of ETs. You see what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, is it all one? Does it matter? Which is it, do you see what I'm trying to say? Is it a separate thing or is it all the same?
Yeah, exactly. We're all one on higher levels. What most people don't understand down here, we're all multidimensional beings, whether you're an Earth human or you're a Zeta or you know, Pleiadian or whoever. We all have aspects of our being on all 10 levels of the human ladder. So we are multidimensional. And this is where the whole oneness comes in. We're all energy beings, multidimensional energy beings, and we are all created out of source energy, which people down here call God.
Well, it's interesting to me because I really believe that we are multidimensional. And when you're speaking of the human ladder and like we have 10 levels, but each of us has all 10 levels.
Yes,
and
yes.
I'm like, okay, so
yes.
Explain that. And then I want to get back to the coronavirus, but it's all part of the package of comprehending what we're going through as a result of this or because of this virus, right?
Yeah, that's right, yes. Yes, the human ladder is an ascending, cycle of expanding conscious awareness. So those of us who have our focus down here on planet Earth, are able to access approximately 10% of our potential conscious awareness. We're on level one. Level two, we can access 20%. Level three, 30%, etc. And this is intrinsically linked into the amount of DNA that's been activated. And this is why so many people are being taken up onto the ET ships. They're having more DNA activated, and our DNA is actually being healed. It was compromised, as I talk about in the ET Presence on Earth book, and that's now being healed to enable us to shift up to level two. But of course, some Earth humans aren't ready for that. They need to stay on level one.
Well, what about the whole Earth is on level one, is it not?
Well, again, the planet's multidimensional. So the Earth that we are experiencing here in the here and now, yes, is level one. But there are other Earths on multi-dimensions, which is really hard to get your head around. I know Dolores Cannon talks about this, and she always says, oh, it's really hard to understand. And I can totally, you know, I can understand that. It is difficult to comprehend.
Yeah, it's a real conundrum, isn't it, you know? But also going back to how we were a planetary, or our planet had inhabitants, and you said that they were The planet was taken over 1 million years ago by a consortium of groups called the Reptarian. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's right, yes.
And then when you speak in the book about how the various controllers, there have been different civilizations have tried to impose a transformative power to release the Earth from their grip, their kind of cruel grip, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And yet
yes.
It doesn't succeed.
Yeah, it's not easy. As one of the grey teachers said once, it's like when this controller, Reptarian controller group, basically hijacked the planet, you know, eons ago, it was as if planet Earth was pushed out of the flowing stream of the universe. This teacher described the universe as being like a flowing stream or river, and planet Earth has been sort of pushed into a stagnant pool at the side. And the trouble is because there's been so much control and brainwashing, it's very, very hard to get through to the inhabitants of the planet Earth, that you're actually very powerful beings, and you have to get yourselves out of it. It's difficult. I likened it to a sporting team with a coach. You know, a lot of people say, well, why don't the ETs just come down here and fix it? They're not allowed to. Because Earth humans have been so brainwashed, it's like they sort of created the situation themselves, so now they have to find their way out of the situation. And as one of the teachers likened it to, it's like a sporting team and the coach. Now, the sports team, when between games, they get training by the coach. The coach will give them pep talks and put them through all sorts of exercises and send them out there all sort of hyped up and ready to win. But once they get out on the playing field, things start to go wrong. Now, the coach isn't allowed to run out on the playing field and start helping them out. He has to stand on the sidelines and bite his nails and tear his hair out. And there's nothing he can do. He can't physically step in. Now, it's a very, very similar situation with the ETs. When people die and go over to the other side, we can talk to them and connect with them and teach them and help them. But once they get born down here, it's basically a test that they're going through. What are they, again, the old test, what are they going to link into, love or fear, positivity or negativity? They're the only ones who can make the choice. We can't make it for them.
Wow, that's really interesting. So I'm thinking about all kinds of, you know, working with people and counseling and so on. You see a lot of different situations. Some people are born into really horrendous situations. If the ETs have been working with them on the other side, they can't help unravel some of those knots and mysteries before they're actually born. Is that so?
Yeah, that's right. Whatever circumstances we choose in life, we do it for a reason, and the reason is either to balance karma or to strengthen ourselves spiritually. Hmm. Now, it's all very well making these choices, pre-birth choices, oh yeah, it's all going to be fine, but then when we come down here, it's not as easy, and so we forget the choice that we've made. It's really interesting because I've just been listening to an interview by Sherry Wilde, mm-hmm. Grant Cameron interviewing her, and she talks about this too because she's like me. She's an ET who chose to come down as a volunteer to help at this stage. You know,
what's her name? Sherry Wilde? I'll look her up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can actually send you through the links of the interviews if you like.
Great, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah. But as she said, she had all these great plans before coming, and all of us are the same, but when we get down here, it's not easy. And she lost touch with her ET family until she was in her late 30s. But she was going through all this fear stuff that I also went through. The same thing happened to me. But at the same time, we chose this to happen so that we would experience the fear of ET contact from the Earth-human perspective. Then once we wake up, we realize what's going on.
Oh, so you actually had to experience making the choice to deal with the fear.
Yeah. Those of us who are blended souls or dual souls, as Susie Hansen talks about in her book, The Dual Soul Connection, we're actually given the choice, once we're woken up by our ET family, then we're given the choice, okay, you're a dual soul, in my case, half Earth human, half Zeta Grey, do you want it, which path do you want to follow? And you, again, make that choice. Okay, I'll continue with my ET work, or no, I just want to be an Earth human. I don't want this anymore. So we all have these choices to make.
And you decided to do both?
Well, I was both, but I decided to focus on the ET side so I can have conscious experiences up on the ship. A couple of others I know decided not to. They decided to step away and just live a life as an Earth human. Which is fine, you know, it's whatever choice you want to make.
So you're saying no victim?
No, no victims. No. that's really hard to get across.
Well, actually, it just occurred to me that victim would mean there isn't, I didn't make a plan. So I guess I hadn't thought about it in quite that succinct style. So let's go back into the coronavirus, okay? Which I think is really... I've been looking at, but what exactly is a virus? What does it look like? How does it live, you know? And what symbol does it have for being a global pandemic? Why don't you just talk about what you think? Those are the questions that I have for myself.
Okay, well, everything has consciousness. Not just what Earth humans think of as being a sentient being. Mm-hmm. So even down at that bacteria, virus level, everything has a consciousness. So there would have been, like, how can I say, an agreement made for this virus to be released down here, an agreement between virus and Earth humans' higher selves. I know this is really hard to get your head around, but again, like Mara said in his message about, you know, the negative forces down here actually being our guardian angels, because, you know, wherever the, however or whoever released this virus. But again, it's all going to plan, because the virus is then enabling people to go through the portal of death to evolve to the next level so that they can come back on a higher frequency.
There's no guarantee, though, if you go into death to evolve to a higher frequency, there's no guarantee that you'll actually get there. It's not like...
It's your choice.
It's really, and is it as difficult when we get through in the death process? Is it as difficult as it is sometimes to choose while you're in the physical space of being a human being?
No, it's very easy up there. But the difficult part is bringing the remembrance through. That's where the difficulty comes in.
Okay.
Up there, we're our own judge, and we judge ourselves from the higher self perspective. So we can see very, very clearly where we've gone wrong, what we plan to do in the life. Again, Sherry was just talking about this in her interview. You know, we make all these wonderful plans, and then when we pass over to the other side at the end of the life, then we look at this life review and it's, oh, gee, I didn't do real well down there. I forgot to do this and I meant to do that. So the difficulty isn't up there. It's bringing it through down here.
So when we say, I forgot to do this and that, let me see. What is memory when it comes to your soul's journey? Is it some vague metaphorical thing?
Yeah, well, this of course is where we come into the human ladder, because the more conscious awareness we have, the more we can bring through from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But because Earth humans have been, their DNA has been compromised, so they can only access 10% of their potential conscious awareness, this is where the memory breaks down. So this is why ones like myself are down here, ET people, trying to get this across to people. And this is also why so many people, when they have an ET contact, the ET says to them, it's time for you to wake up. That's basically what they're saying. It's time for you to wake up to more conscious awareness of yourself.
Mm-hmm. So what can we do to, first of all, let's go back to the coronavirus, because that's what we're supposed to be talking about, although... You're such a wealth of information, I can not resist asking a million questions. But is it so, if it's a collective decision, right, is it that the pressure of life and death, for example, and toilet paper, because we were laughing earlier about how...
Toilet paper, I can't leave that out.
Well, it's funny, so many people rushed off to hoard toilet paper knowing it's going to be a pandemic. And I'm like... our priorities are really interesting, and I just keep thinking this virus is stripping us of a lot of pretenses, is it not? It's like pulling us away from all kinds of postures.
Yes.
Is that what it's supposed to be doing?
Absolutely, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's really reducing humans down to their basic soul self. And it's providing people with time to do a little bit more waking up too. They're not so distracted by work and you know, family and everything like that. They're really going into themselves a lot.
Mm-hmm. So getting to know who we really are.
Yeah, which is what the waking up process is all about.
I also think that, I think I know this, but what do you think you really know, you know? But people, so I say to you, down under, are they in lockup? They're doing the same thing. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world, what language you speak, or what kind of a funny accent you have. Now I'm teasing you. We're all in the same, we're one. We are one.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm not real familiar with the Bible, but the four riders, the apocalypse they talk about, and, you know, they're going through with their scythes and swords and things, and everyone is falling before them, everyone from peasants through to popes and kings and queens. And you can see this happening with this coronavirus.
Mm.
It's absolutely disregardless of who you are, rich, poor, aristocrat, you know, peasant, it doesn't matter. You know, going through everyone.
And was it the bubonic plague like that?
Yeah, it would have been. It would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would think that there was a shift going on back then. I'm pretty sure there was. There would have been a planetary shift going on back then to a frequency change.
Mm-hmm. What is the planetary shift right now?
What was that?
What is the planetary shift? Is it like a frequency change? Do you know?
Yes. Yeah, we're changing basically from fourth world consciousness to fifth world consciousness. It's that thing that the Hopi and the Mayans talked about. And it's moving our vibrational frequency up. We're moving up from 3D into 5D. So, yeah, we're planning to operate on a higher vibrational frequency. That's what it's all about. And when you do that, I know I teach Reiki, and when we attune somebody to Reiki, they have to go through what we call a 21-day cleanse,
mm-hmm.
which is a detoxing period. And it's a similar thing when the planet shifts to a higher frequency and humanity wants to go with it, they have to go through this cleansing period. It could be likened to the labor pains of birth.
Mm-hmm.
That's another good way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. I wondered about that.
Yeah.
Here's a small aside. This is quite meant to be a bit capricious, but also practical. We talked about the bubonic plague, and one of the things a lot of us are using in our work, and you talk about Reiki, which is also vibrational. The thieves, have you heard of thieves oil? It's a combination of spices, and I think 14 of them or something, but the story is that the people who robbed the graves of the rich people who died, took all their gold and stuff because they were dead, were all protected and did not get sick. And the reason was they used this thing called thieves oil. And it's just, it's a scent. And what makes me smile is I go, well, I guess we moved back into nature to get what's appropriate to make ourselves strong and to offset the malignant frequencies, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you talked about Reiki, and I keep thinking, oh, it's a big swill of all these different things teaching us of the power and the wisdom of just energy, right?
Oh, look, exactly. You know, as Mara said, everything's energy, so everything's based on energy. Going back to Reiki, quite some years ago, a group of Reiki people from New Zealand went over to work in the area of Chernobyl. In Europe,
mm-hmm.
To help out people who were suffering, you know, from the fallout. And when they got back to their living quarters, they had a Geiger counter run over them, and the higher level you were attuned to in Reiki, the less the radiation poisoning you were taking on.
Wow, I like that story.
Which is absolutely brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Isn't that wonderful?
So, yeah, Reiki is a good way of protecting yourself. Any of those energy things are good.
Well, it's interesting because you're talking about consciousness shifts, and it really has a lot to do with the frequencies you run through your own body, right?
Yes, exactly.
Isn't that exciting? So when it comes to a lot of people passing, we're making the assumption that that's true at this point.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I hope it isn't, but let's retract that. So how can... All right, is it as simple as people who won't let go of how they hold on to what security and reality is will have a harder time?
You see
what I'm trying to figure out here?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're trying to say. Yes, those who refuse to change and shift with the higher frequency, they're the ones who aren't going to make it through.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we've heard that even families will split over big energy shifts, and I'm thinking this might be it. Do you think this is it?
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting, right back in October, one of the people who I work with closely upstairs had a dream, in inverted commas, but I mean was obviously a real happening.
Mm-hmm.
And she was aware of the three of us who work together down here being up on the ship as greys, and there was a massive influx of Earth humans being brought up who had died. They were being brought up onto the ship, and it was her job to talk to them about death. And it was quite funny because she panicked a bit and she was saying, oh, that's not my job, that's not my job. And she was really dropped in the deep end because we were all so busy. And I said to her at the time, oh, wow, you know, when she told me about the dream, I said, oh, wow, I wonder if there's something big coming up in the next few months. And lo and behold, this has happened.
Wow, that's really amazing.
And we had a bit of a heads up on it.
You know, when I was little, she said again, changing the subject, this is a sidebar again, but when I was small, I had a lot of perception and so on. And I used to feel that my life was very crowded. I was the middle of three girls. We were all very much of the same age, you know, a year and a half apart. And then I would muse when I was like 4 and 5 and 6, well, when I die, it's going to be a big crowd too. Isn't that interesting?
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
When you talk about, like, we plan stuff, I go, maybe I know something that I didn't even know I knew. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'll make sure you keep yourself safe through this.
I will. And also, okay, so back to this. Do we prepare? Do people prepare if they know they're going to pass? And if is that preparation... What I mean is some conscious people will know they're going to pass and will choose that in order to move along, right?
Yes, right. Yeah.
So what is the preparation for that? Is that all meditation and...
Well, in a way, you're preparing for it through your whole life, really. It's sort of, it's more an energy thing, the way you think. So again, you know, thinking positive rather than negative. Those who choose to choose negative. I'm trying to get this out. Are the ones who are going to be prone to pass over.
I'm thinking that. Okay, back to the human ladder and back to the coronavirus. I'm going, huh. I don't know where to go with that, but you can choose to be going through as well as choose to be not going through, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. It's always the choice. I mean, people aren't consciously aware of it down here when they come up against it. They might be terrified of death and fight it all the way.
Mm-hmm.
But if they've made that pre-birth choice to go at that time, they will.
So what do you recommend people do to, do you recommend that we get into doing herbs and lots of Reiki and in order to enhance our basic frequencies in order to deal with this and not be in fear? Is it that simple?
Spiritual practice is the key to raising your vibrational frequency. Now, I'll just use an example of when I first was woken up to conscious awareness of my grey family. One of the very first things they told me to do was to learn to meditate.
Okay.
Because, as they said, it will raise your vibrational frequency to enable us to communicate with you more easily. Now, I came into that from being a professional dancer. So, you know, the last thing I was able to do was meditate. I'd never done it. I hardly even heard of meditation. So then they passed on some really good advice for me to learn Tai Chi, because that's moving meditation. And this is how I got into meditating on their advice. And I find that it's a wonderful preventative. It just keeps me so healthy. I mean, I've been doing Tai Chi now for 30-odd years, and Reiki, of course, which is related to, you know, it's another energy modality. Mm-hmm. And I find that they keep me very healthy. So, yeah, to stay healthy, do a spiritual practice.
I like that. I was going to say something really intelligent, and I've totally forgotten what it is.
I think that helps you to remember.
What is it?
Rub the lobe of your ear.
Oh, okay, I'll do that.
That's what I've been told anyway.
I just think it's really funny on global television. I guess that's part of the unity, isn't it?
Yeah.
The oneness, the unity of this whole thing, the unity, is we are learning two things. One is to think for ourselves, right? And,
yes.
And the thing is that so many of the influences of controllers or so on have had such an impact over our spiritual practices through centuries and centuries and centuries. And I know you know that. You've written about a lot of that as well. It's like it's unity that we have to head for, but it's also a really unique personal journey about unwrapping all the enshroudment or all the cover-ups that we've absorbed through the centuries, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. That's a huge, huge job. Yeah, just seeing through it all. One of the biggest aspects of this is that people need to realize that religion and spirituality are not necessarily the same thing. What we're trying to achieve is spirituality rather than being religious.
Mm-hmm.
They may go hand in hand, but they don't always, and that's a huge thing.
Well, doesn't that depend also, Judy, on the personal integrity and the personal spiritual journey of whoever is leading the religious organization or whoever's, you know?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, very much so.
Yeah,
I mean, there are some religious leaders out there who are beautiful and very, very evolved souls, but there are also some who aren't. And people don't want to get caught up in the dogma of religion. I mean, it's not about, you know, whether it's good or bad to eat meat on Friday or whether, you know, good or bad to go to church on Sunday or whatever. It's not about that. It's about treating others as you would want to be treated yourself, showing compassion towards others, not being prejudiced, you know, like religious prejudice and judgment is so very wrong. And yet so many people who call themselves religious are very judgmental and very prejudiced,
mm-hmm.
which is that's so sad. That's not what true religion's about. True religion is just about love. Bottom line is love, unconditional love for all and non-judgment.
I know that is such a remarkable thing, the whole leadership thing. And also, I still keep going back to this thing about learning to be in truth with who you are. It's almost like the thing that we're after is just that reverence for constantly asking, constantly seeking, constantly unfolding. It's not the answer, it's the machine inside of us, would you say?
Yeah. That's right, exactly. Yeah, that inner core part of it, which is the God part of us.
Mm-hmm. What about, I was going to ask about food. What about feeding the planet and things like that? For some reason, I keep seeing food run by my head. Do you pay attention to what kinds of things to eat? Do you think that's really crucial?
Oh, yes, because, you know, all this junk food, for example, I mean, that's part of the dumbing down, the junk food, eating good fresh products is very, very important. Because remember, our body is the temple of our soul. So keeping ourselves healthy, eating the right foods, exercising, all those things are very, very important.
I really believe that too, and the right kinds of water and sort of reinstating. Do you think that we have the ability in this, for example, with this unity in the pandemic and so on, or whatever comes after that, do you think we have the ability of recreating a healthy or helping Mother Earth become a healthy planet again?
I'm really hoping so. I'm hoping that the way industry has had to pull right back, and so the air pollution and that is all healing and the waters are clearing up, I'm hoping that the ones who don't buy into the idea of global warming are taking notice of that, because it's human-made pollution that is causing a lot of the climate problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that. There are other factors as well. But human pollution is a really huge thing. Really know the answers to it, because I know we need industry, but, if we can just clean our act up.
Well, you and I know it's possible to do, say, clean air and have electricity through solar or wind and all that stuff, right?
Exactly.
So many things are possible.
Yeah, so maybe what's happening now is a demonstration that, yes, this is what we need to do, because if we do it, the planet will stay clean.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, it's like a real awareness, isn't it, that I guess it's just thinking that we can clean it up. A lot of people just don't believe it's possible, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm pretty excited about it. So what do you think about space travel and all that? What do you think about us going off to Mars to get away from the problems here?
Yeah, I don't think Earth humans are going to be allowed too far out until they get their own act together.
Yeah, talk about that. That's a really important subject too. That's one of the questions I had.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want them polluting other planets. That's the thing.
And is it true that we are still in quarantine, meaning we're not invited into the great galactic community?
Yes, at the moment, definitely, yeah. Again, everyone's just sitting back and seeing what people do with this, what's going on down here. I think will probably be a deciding factor.
How many ETs are here on the planet at any given time? You don't have to give a head count, but
Oh, many different ones. The greys are the main ones who are working along with the mantids, because they're the how can I say, the scientists and the energy workers of the universe. They work very much with energy. I remember Whitley Strieber spoke about this in his book. He had a lot of contact with the greys, and they explained to him once that they were triers and testers of souls. And so a lot, they're down here quite a lot now while all this is going on. But, the Pleiadians are here. They're the closest related to Earth humans, so there's many of them down here at the moment too, helping out.
Mm-hmm.
Sirians, Arcturians, the Mantids are really, really up there with helping out.
How do you spell that one, Manton?
Mantids, the praying mantis types.
Oh, right, okay, yes. All right.
Mantids. But they're beautiful souls.
It really? And they each have their own kind of imprint that they bring, huh?
Yeah. They're very much into planetary healing and environment and things like that. All the insectoids. When I use the term grey, I probably don't quite apply it as other people do down here. When I use that term, what I'm doing, I'm referring to insectoid type humans as opposed to mammalian type humans.
Oh, really?
And
the greys are insectoid?
Yeah, they're insectoids. Yeah, many different races of greys. I mean, Zeta Reticulans are just one race, but there are many different grey cultures.
Hmm. And they get a short shrift, don't they? They've been called a lot of different names, like negative, stay away from them. I heard that years ago, huh?
The problem is the negative group down here, the ones carrying out these MyLab, the military abductions, have actually created these sort of bio-robot things in the form of greys. They've actually taken genetic material from the bodies of genuine ETs who died in the ship crashes, and they've created this life form that very, very much resemble Greys, and they're, how can I say, they're controlled by the negative group down here, and they're the ones that are often seen in the really no, genuinely negative abduction experiences where people get hurt and things like that. That they're not real Greys, but they're made to look like Greys, so people are scared of the genuine ones.
So it's like everything else, you have to go in and really understand what's going on. Are they still abusing people through these experiments? I thought that stopped.
Sorry, what was that?
Did the experiments on human bodies, is that stopped?
Yeah, that's a negative group down here doing that, the controller group.
But they're not still doing it, are they?
Oh, I think they are.
Oh, darn, I wanted to hear they weren't. Well, I think it's all...
Hopefully they're being stopped bit by bit, but yeah.
But the other people, we were speaking about the Arcturians and the Sirians and the Pleiadians and so on, and they're friends, are they not? Are they friends with one another?
Oh, yes. Oh, very much so. We all work together and very much in oneness.
But they don't. They're not doing like Star Wars kinds of things.
No. As I mentioned before, the rest of the universe had evolved. It's just planet Earth that's stuck in this little stagnant pool to the side.
Really?
You know, all this Star Wars stuff. It's maybe it happened eons ago, but it's not happening now.
Yeah, it always makes me cross because it's like. It's like some of our biblical stuff, like Cain and Abel, and they had to kill each other, right? And these are all our basic myths. And so then I look up and I see Star Wars, and I go, is this just going to keep going on and on and on? It seems like it's part of the same driving our brains into feeling this fierce defensiveness.
Yeah. See, the trouble is a lot of these Hollywood creations like Star Wars and Star Trek and all, they're based on humans, you know, the human behavior down here. It's not really what goes on in the greater universe. I can't even watch those shows because, you know, the way they portray a lot of the ETs is just so wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bad ads.
Yeah,
for
bad.
ETs.
That's right.
So we're going to have to end this soon, and I don't want to, but I'm going, okay, so let's give people a little bit of advice about the coronavirus. If you have any left, you've already given us a certain number of bits of wisdom.
Well, I mean, basically, we do need to follow what we're being told, you know, washing our hands, keeping ourselves isolated for the time being, you know, not getting together in crowds. I mean, I go along with all that. At the same time, not getting too caught up in the fear side of it. And this is why Maris emphasised the fact, look, the worst that can happen is you can die. But, I mean, death isn't the end. It's not the end of the world. You do go on. We reincarnate. So I think if people can take that on board, just a little bit of the edge of the fear will perhaps hopefully be healed.
I think that's really helpful information. And you say that going through is a lot easier for people because of beings that help, right?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Death isn't unpleasant. It's actually an enjoyable thing. I mean, I'm quite looking forward to stepping through the portal. Been there, done that so many times. You know, it's really nothing to be scared of.
Can we bring up the memories of having slipped through so that we know that it's familiar?
Yeah, well, when we're over there, we do realize. It's just down here. And how to develop the memories down here is through spiritual practice. You know, meditating and things like that, as maybe a lot of people are starting to find now that they are being made to be isolated and things. Some people will start to wake up through that.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Now, here's one more question I have is, can we do anything to heal the virus from Earth plane? You know, those of us who do energy, I don't do Reiki, but I do lots of energy and a lot of, or it's a kind of Reiki in a way, isn't it? But can we do enough to actually heal that, conquer the virus, so to speak?
Well, you know, again, if it's meant to be, it will. If it's not, it won't. You know, it's all down to whether people have chosen to take it on or not. Yes, for sure. All those natural healing therapies do give us protection. I'm sure they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those who are into those sort of things. And the other thing that we can do for those of us who are attuned to practices like Reiki that can be sent across time and space, we can send healing out to humanity.
Well, that's great. I love that. Now, yeah. We have to say goodbye, Judy. Can you tell us what else you're always doing so many things? Do you have any new books coming out? An extraterrestrial presence on Earth is a woof.
Nothing at the moment, Veronica. I'm just what I am doing at the moment. I'm working with a friend. We're putting up a series of YouTube clips, like Q&A sort of format, where she asks questions and I answer them.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yeah, that's going well. We've got about 22 of them loaded up already. What I can do, I can send the channel through to you and you can put it up, you know, when you put the interview up. Would that be a good idea?
I'd love to do that. I would be most honored. We're always fascinated by your work, and you've brought us so much peace and expanded thought.
People can also tune into our website, ufograyinfo.com.
Okay. And
Gray spelt with an E, ufograyinfo.com.
Well, and I thank you so very much, and I hope that we all gain as much wisdom from the coronavirus unity oneness situation as we've heard as possible.
Right? Oh, thank you so much, Veronica. It's great to be able to talk out about it like this.
Yeah, thank you for all your wisdom. Good night. Good morning to you. Good night.